Hello, Sister Saints, Sister Deb.
And Brother James.
And Brother James from don'tperish.com.
Hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, praise God for this day.
What are we doing today, Sister Debbie?
Well, we're going to talk about head covering in the home.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, we've had...
I just did one called Holiness in the Home, and it was kind of the same thing, covering actions, dress, head covering in the home. More general, this is more target specific.
Right, and I'm going to link that on the post that I do because it's got like a nice foundation to it about how the home is supposed to be. And now we're just going to kind of zero in on head covering in the home.
All right, this has come up over the years quite a few times, came up again recent, so we thought we'd cover this and just do a teaching on it to try to edify and lay some ground rules, groundwork, some framework from God's Word.
Yeah, and so what we have is just some bullet points and some things that have been brought up. So I'm just going to kind of bring some of them up. Brother James will talk about it. I'll just kind of add to it.
Yeah, kind of teamwork.
Yeah, however it goes. So, you know, the thought on this, because head covering in the home, it's something that we should be taking very seriously. Head covering is something that should be worn all the time. We're not going to go into the teachings of head covering
and
all the doctrines of it.
Tons of articles on the teaching blog that go into many, many aspects of head covering. This isn't for deep theology on that.
Right. This is about in the home.
Application.
And yeah, because some people think, oh, it's just an occasional thing, you know, or it's only out for just in the public. And so we're just going to go through some of this. So anyway, one of the things was, you know, a comment was about legalism and being extreme within the home.
Yeah, we hear this term legalism a lot, and I have articles on legalism. So just quickly, it is not legalistic to strive to obey God's word in all of our ways. Legalism is either adding to God's word or adding to your salvation. And none of this that we're talking about does either one of those things. This is a framework for us to be obeying God's word. In my other teaching, I talked about how we are called to be blameless in a whole bunch of places for the glory of God. So when you strive to obey God and do what he's called you to do in all aspects of your life, public life, private life, it is not legalistic. It's God-honoring and God-glorifying. Look up the articles on legalism. They use that. Many people use that on dress, head covering, music, sports. It is not legalistic to obey the laws of God and apply them rightly in our lives.
Right. It's usually used most often in the case of somebody trying to maybe make excuses for sin or to be a little bit lax in certain areas.
Yeah, watering things down, cutting corners.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right, so here's one, a common question of when can a woman take off her head covering?
Yeah, and this is like such a broad topic, but you know, we believe what God's word teaches, that a woman should be covered when she's praying or prophesying. We also believe that a woman's hair is her glory. Her hair should be covered. The Bible talks about it's a sign for angels.
Right.
Where are angels? Well, they're out in public. They're out in workplaces. They're at home. And so we don't believe that the home is a place to let our guard down. I talked about that in my other article. It's still a place where the standards of God should be lifted up very high. We'll be talking about some other reasons why. So I believe really the only place that a woman has the total freedom to let her hair down, I want to be clear here, we're not the head covering police.
Right.
We know in the home there's extenuating circumstances, there's emergencies, there's late night bathroom runs. I understand all that stuff. We're not being totally specific about that. But what we want to talk about is a woman should be properly covered to be blameless in public, around her children, and until she's in her private areas of her home. And I have defined that, I believe, unless someone could teach me wrong, the private area of your home when you have children running around is the bathroom and the bedroom. That's where you can let your guard down and do what the things you do in those two places. I won't go into those things. Other than that, hallways, kitchens, porches, living rooms, these are kind of public spaces because you have children running around, and we're trying to train them how to carry themselves properly, not having the boys see the girls inappropriate, and the other way around, not seeing mom and dad inappropriate. I brought up the thing about dads who wear biblical tunics or untucked shirts shouldn't be walking around in their t-shirts and underwear, boxer shorts in front of children. So I believe, going back to the woman, biblically, for the angels covering her glory, it should be part of her wardrobe in public and even in front of her children in most all cases.
Right.
To set the standard to be that which is blameless.
Right, yeah, because we don't want to be like a hypocrite to where children will see that and then they don't really have a definitive guideline themselves.
Causes confusion.
Yeah, it does. If it's always wavering this way and that way, then it looks like maybe they can just kind of make up their own choices as they grow and make their own guidelines and stuff.
Amen.
And we don't want that.
And the home is the training ground and holding high the standards of God. So when they go into the world, they understand these roles. And if you train them, whenever they're around other people, it's not just family. Whenever they're around people, they should be dressed and carrying themselves biblically appropriate. That means how they talk, how they act, how they dress, how they head cover, everything should be appropriate. And the home is the place to set that standard, not lower the standard.
Right. It's interesting how people will pick the head covering and pull that off separately than all the other commands.
We believe that that's not true. The head covering is part of a woman's wardrobe.
And it's just obedience.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So as I go through my notes here and the points that were brought up to us.
And we'll talk about, I think, going down this, we'll talk about some ramifications of lowering the standards, what it can create. We'll get to that.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple scripture verses here that some people use to say that maybe it was Jewish tradition to just cover out in public, but yet they think maybe that women just walked around at home without being covered. And we can't, that's like kind of extra biblical because
of scripture.
Right. I was just going to read these here. Isaiah 47, 2 and 3. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. Numbers 5:18. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse.
Right.
And they kind of use that and just say that, you know,
it's a shame.
It's out in public only and that's it.
Yeah. And again, we just don't see that because we go back to talking about the angels are everywhere. Yep. We go back to covering a woman's glory. We go back to talking about how her children, and when we talk about children, we're going to blur the lines here and talk about family in a little bit. But when we talk about children and family, if we open the door at, you know, young ages, where do we draw the line and to who do we draw the line at where we now say, no, we don't do it there, but we do it here. And we'll talk about where we talk about a hole in the dam a little bit and it gets bigger. We'll talk about that a little bit as we go. So those verses do not give fodder for people to say, oh, I can uncover my head at home and be lax on this. They just don't do that.
Right. Yeah, I think some people just go by what they think is in history.
And amen.
We can't do that. We have to go
by the word. That's extra biblical. We got to stick with God's word.
Right. Okay. And then here's another one. Some people think that Mary is an example, and I'll read the scripture verse about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. The first thing I would say is, who is Mary? And we're going to find out.
Right.
Was she a godly, Israelite, obedient, back then Torah-keeping woman? Or was she a woman of the world who came to Christ and was forgiven? We're going to find out.
Right. And so they use this Mary to say, well, see, she wasn't covered in public, so it's okay for women to be out like that. Luke 7, 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner.
Sinner.
When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment.
Right. So we don't know, but we could say, hey, she could have been a prostitute. I don't know. She, in this day and age, she could have been a drug addict. She could have been a homeless gypsy. She was not a holy, godly, covered Israelite woman. She was a sinner of the culture.
And some of them then, even like the prostitutes, did wear covers and stuff too, so we don't know either or.
Yep, and if a woman had long hair and she had a loose covering on, the hair can be pulled out easy from behind, especially if she had really long hair.
If you're kneeling down,
But clearly this was not a godly woman. No. This was a sinner that found forgiveness in Christ.
Right, we can't use that as
an example. That one has to be thrown out, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, so now here's another one with Rebecca. A lot of people say, well, because she's with her maidservant or her damsels, it says.
Right, her helpers.
That's considered her household, so that would be kind of considered family or within them. Because she was traveling with them, and I'm going to read the scripture verse here, they're going to say, see, she was uncovered out in public. Right. Genesis 24:65. For she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Right. So this does, a lot of people say, oh, she was uncovered. She didn't have a head covering veil. This is most likely, if you look into the details of this, is a face veil. And the reason that is because there was a tradition that the groom should not see the bride before they get married. And so we have to be careful when we're talking about a veiling here that she was uncovered.
Right. We see that in the scriptures. I should have looked it up. Who was it that worked for 7 years for his bride, and he ended up with the sister that he didn't want, and he had to work another 7 years for his bride? Obviously, he didn't see
exactly
who it was before he got married.
Exactly, yeah,
so
he got kind of tricked.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right.
it was that. So that's not a good verse for talking about uncovering your head.
Right.
That would be a face veil, and I want to throw in there, that's where the Muslims get face veiling from.
Oh, yeah.
The Muslims took from the Christian tradition of head covering, and they added the face veil for all times when it was supposed to be just from your groom.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about that one.
Don't follow Muslim theology, saints.
No. Right. And then, let's see. Here's another one that gets used sometimes. God did not give Eve a head covering in the garden.
Yeah. This one is so subjective because, okay, we see God dressing mankind in Genesis 3. Yep, we don't see anywhere where he put a head covering on Eve. But you know what? We can't add or take away from God's word. We don't know exactly what he did. Let's say he didn't put a head covering on her. Do you know how many commands at that time that God did not give Adam and Eve? Let me just talk about it. There's 1,050 commands in the New Testament for us saints today. Hardly any of those were given to Adam and Eve. That means if we say, well, he didn't cover her head, that means we're going to use that kind of theology to also go and throw out all the other things he didn't tell Adam and Eve. Edify each other, exhort each other, one another each other. Rebuke each other. I don't recall him teaching Adam and Eve any of those things. So the absence of that doctrine doesn't do away with it when we see it clearly later in the Old Testament, clearly in the New Testament. That's just reaching and stretching for something backwards that we don't have to. We need to go forward, and forward shows us head covering all over the place.
Right. Amen. All right. So here's another point. What about those people who all... the whole family lives in like one room houses, you know, kind of like the pygmy in Africa type.
Yeah, question. Yeah. So I call it this pygmy Africa question. When I'm out street preaching, people say, what about the pygmy in Africa that doesn't get the gospel? And I say, well, we'll let God worry about the pygmy in Africa. How about you and I? We both know the gospel. How are we going to respond to it? This is kind of a really far stretching question. Here's what I'll tell you. If I was a dad and I had a wife and I had 12 kids and we all had to live in one room, I would not lower my standard of God's word for body coverage, head coverage, just because we had to live in one room. I guess I would set up a special area where everybody took turns to change in, and then the children would be put to bed appropriately and sectioned off so that no one's seeing each other's nakedness, no one's seeing each other uncovered inappropriately. I don't think because we look at this rare, unusual standard that means we can now change what God ordained. Many people that would have to live in these kind of conditions, I'm going to bring it up. Husband and wives living in the same room with children, how are they going to know each other, as it says the man knew the woman? How are they going to have intimacy with all those children? They're going to find a way to do that, and they're certainly not going to do it in front of their children.
Right.
So they would find a way to shield that off, maybe do it while they're sleeping, whatever. I don't even want to go into that.
Yeah.
But that would be totally, totally a rare, rare case, and we got to be careful. Are we going to talk about family later, or is this the place to talk about family?
Yeah, that was kind of coming up next.
Okay, oh, we'll do that one next. We have to be careful when we're talking about people all living together, and we're going to cover that next.
Right, and that was basically what you just said, you know, what if you, because you brought this one up, you know, in amongst some of the other questions we were trying to kind of summarize into one when you said, well, what about if there were multiple families maybe sharing one house, you know, even if it was kind of divided,
so,
or whatever?
So let me give you a scenario. Mom and dad say it's okay with our children for mom to uncover at times at home because it's just easier. Okay, so you're saying just with your children. What happens if you have another Christian family come live with you? Jesus says, who is my mother, my brother? Those who do the will of the Father. Blood relation means nothing to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's who is born of him doing his will. Now this new family is living in your home, another man, another wife, more children. Does that mean both women can now take off their head coverings? And can all the girls take off their head coverings? Could they all commingle as God? And then some other Christians come over to visit them and they go, oh, you all don't wear your head coverings, you know, because it's too much of a hassle evening. Well, they're going to take ours off. Before you know it, we call it the dam breaking. You allow a little bit of picking away here and there. All of a sudden, mom, the girls, the other mom, the other girls, right. Friends of friends of friends. Hey, we don't have to head cover all the time, right? And all of a sudden the dam breaks and children go, wow, when we go out in the world, we head cover all the time. And at home, we don't do that all the time. The children see hypocrisy. They see issues and it can confuse them.
Right.
Can I bring something else up here? Satellite issue. This is why we stand hard on musical instruments. If you allow one guitar, you don't have theological grounds to say no drums, no trumpet, no clarinet, no electric keyboard,
right.
Because you allowed one instrument. If you allow one person, one young girl to start uncovering her head, you can't have any grounds for any woman to not uncover her head. I think that opens you up and it keeps you from being blameless, holy, and walking in all the commandments of God in righteousness for His glory.
Right, and you can also see where it would be really easy to say, well, maybe right before this time in the day, you know, well, every day at this time we all put it on, and then maybe it gets stretched a little further,
right.
Next thing you know, it's lax, and especially with children, they need a sharp line drawn.
Yep.
They need something that they can see and do, something that
they can rely on,
yeah.
Stand upon. And can I remind you, there's 40,000 denominations. They all got there by this type of stretching, changing.
Little.
Do we have to? Could we do it different? Maybe not. And they kept pulling away from the truth to where they got so far away they no longer know what the truth is.
It makes no sense, and there's no nothing solid to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Amen. Yeah, children need a solid base. The parents need to set it, and we can't open up these. You know, I want to talk about this real quick. So when we're talking about head coverings, like I said, I don't understand. I don't know if we're going to touch on this a little bit later. I don't understand why it's so hard. When I wake up in the morning, I put a tunic on instantly. If I have to deal with someone, I'm dressed. I don't sit around in my cutoff t-shirt and boxer shorts. I instantly get dressed, okay? And so I don't understand. I see my wife put on a head covering. She can do it in 20 seconds with her simple head covering. Then she has
we'll
one that's
about
more.
That later, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We're going to cover that more later?
At the end,
yeah.
Some ideas on how
that
to
sounds
do
good.
That.
We won't go ahead. I won't go ahead of myself then.
Yeah, okay. So here's another one. What about. Pray, okay, let me just stop here. I get this out on the streets a lot. You know, oh, so you got to wear that 24/7? And here it is. What about when you take a shower or while you're sleeping?
Yeah, this is where people get very, very, it's mockery. I think it is in many people's cases. We know the spirit. We know the letter. Let's see, when you take a shower, what's the goal of a shower? To clean your body and wash your hair. It's pretty impractical to clean it with a head covering on. This is just maintenance that God tells us that we have to do, along with, are we going to cover sleeping, or is now the place to cover sleeping?
This is it. Did I say showering and in bed or sleeping?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I clarified that.
Yeah, so showering is a function that God would approve of. You can take your head covering off. How about sleeping? Something God ordained. People ask us about that. You got to wear it when you're sleeping and you can't pray. Here's what I believe is accurate. Ready? God ordained sleeping. It's like a comatose state for all of us. Isn't it weird? We shut our bodies down. We go into a coma-like state. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in a groggy state and you had an evil dream and you cry out, Lord, take that dream from me, and you didn't cover your head, I think you're absolutely okay, because you're in this coma-like state where God knows your heart. You're not going to jump up and get awake and cover up just to do that. Now, if you wake up at 2 in the morning, you can't sleep, you want to pray, you go in the kitchen to not wake your husband up or anyone else up, and you have the opportunity, you now need to cover your head. You're not in a coma-like state of sleep that God ordained.
Right.
You know what's appropriate. Would you walk in the kitchen with no clothes on, knowing a child could walk up? I don't think so.
Right.
So we also must carry ourselves in a way that is appropriate. So again, there's these gray areas where, yeah, we don't want to apply all these rules and say, you gotta, but it makes common sense. If you're awake, if you have the ability, you're supposed to cover when you pray. I don't understand how complicated this is.
You can put a blanket on.
Hey, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to pray with my head covered. If I'm in a cold winter climate, it's the only time I wear a hat, and I've got a hat on, I've got to remember when I witness to take my hat off.
Right.
It's not hard to remember, take your hat off.
Right. Let's see. So I think that was a lot of the key points. I'm kind of looking at it. I was just going to share some examples of what would make it easier for women who might have children or right. other family members living in the house or something, or all of a sudden you've got to go out and face somebody who, like, okay, like when we're in the van life here, as soon as the doors open, I got to be covered.
Right.
Now, if it's really late at night and we have our door open and it's dark, and I happen to be getting ready for bed and I take my hair down, if somebody were to walk up by the door, I'm out of sight. I can get my hair wound up really quick. So I'm always on guard for that. And so mothers with a lot of children and trying to get things done, I just had some ideas.
Yeah. Did we cover the privacy? We did, right? We covered privacy. Bedroom, bathroom is really the privacy in the home.
Yeah.
Can I throw one in there before you go into that?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you off of what you're doing there. What I wanted to talk about was, we got to be careful when we say, well, with family, we can let our guard down. I started talking about this.
Right.
Let's say you have a nanny come join your household. She's a godly woman. By the doing the will of God, she's your family. She's your brother, your sister. Jesus says so.
Right.
Now, when she enters your home, is she gonna now allowed to have this lower standard and not have to cover her head at all times in front of the children, in front of the other woman, while the other man might see her head uncovered? Now she's part of family. Do you see how we start blurring these lines?
Right.
Then what if her friends were to come over and they're godly women? Can they all now take their head coverings off?
Right.
The dam breaks when we start opening this up. I think it's better if we hold fast and we cover our heads when we're, and dress appropriately, act appropriately when we're in public places,
right.
public spaces, not the bathroom, not the bedroom. Little girls can comb each other's hair in the bathroom.
I was going to get to
that. You're going to cover that. Okay.
Yep. So pretty much, I guess I was just going to say that, you know, like Brother James was saying, where the private and the public part was within the home, and the basis of how that's supposed to be the example to our children. It's good for us, good discipline, you know.
Amen.
It puts us in the right frame of mind.
Glorifies
of serving
God.
Yeah, it reverences God by us being obedient. And there are simple ways for, let's just use an example, a woman who has several children. There are head coverings out there that are kind of stretchy that I know I can grab my hair, wind it up, and within 1 minute, I could have it up, slap some clips in it. And it's not going to last an overly long time because my hair might pull it off the back, but it does the job long enough for me until I have enough time to put it up properly.
Right.
And now there's other things to do. I used to wear a stretchy tube that I made out of an old t-shirt.
Right.
And I could whip my hair up in a quick ponytail, grab that, slip it in the tube, and yank the tube up. Done.
Yeah.
Now I'm covered. You know, it has to be appropriately long enough for the hair. You know, and then, like, when it comes to showers and stuff, how do you dry your hair after a shower? Well, you're talking to somebody who lives in a van in a parking lot.
Right.
You know, so I do have to hide in here, but I can use a hair dryer.
Or a fan.
Or
we use a fan, but a hair dryer if you have electricity.
Yeah, other sisters use hair dryers, fans. You could use a long head covering that goes over it if it's in the summertime. You know, I might just dry the front a little bit and then wind it all up, put it on my head covering, and it either dries or in the evening. You know, I think a lot of women get wrapped up in vanity on their hair. I know, okay, I'm just going to say it. I like my hair to look pretty for my husband, but you know what? That's not my main concern.
And she knows that it doesn't really mean nothing to me.
Right. And if a husband's going to get wrapped up on the fact that you have a head covering on, there's two issues. One, if he's not born again, well, he's going to suffer the ramifications of what he's not doing because
right.
he would see his wife differently. And two, if he's a godly man, he's going to want her to serve God and reverence him no matter what it costs and how it is.
Yeah. Can I add something here real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't want you to lose your place. I just thought about something. You and I are always talking about the things of God all the time, nonstop.
Yes.
If we had small children, we would always be talking about the things of God all the time, nonstop.
Yes.
I have a question. How do you do that with your head uncovered?
Well, I know, especially in the morning.
Is that not
when
prophesizing?
You're praising God. Yeah.
You're talking to children. Praise the Lord for a beautiful day. Oh, this is a glorious day. Children, remember what God's done for you. Preach the gospel to them every morning. We don't talk about anything much but than the Lord. That's why I don't cover my head, because if I covered my head, I'd be taking it off 1,000 times a day.
Right.
I don't see how a woman can have her head uncovered and be dealing with children. when she's prophesizing. She's exactly. proclaiming
that's,
the word of
that's
God.
That's like a man walking around without his tunic on, not talking about it. Or
his head covered when it should be uncovered.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just given a few ideas to help women out in short order. You know, if you got to jump up out of bed and now you got to hurry up and do some things for your husband before he leaves for right. work and the children are trying to get up or whatever, those are some quick ideas. It's doable. Yeah. You know, people do it. And then the question was, is it sinful for women to see other women's hair and little girls and stuff? So if you have several girls in one room, it's not sinful for them to see each other's hair. It's not a practice that they want to do. They can help one another, you know, their spirit,
trim it, comb
letter.
It.
Yeah.
Teach them how to put it up.
Yep. Yeah, the older ones can teach the younger
yeah.
ones.
Discipline.
You know?
Order.
And that's what it is. You know, a mother teaches the young girls how to do it. As the young girls get older, they teach their, they help their younger sisters too, yep. if there's multiple. Women to women, yeah, there's really no reason women should just be sitting around. I'll tell you what, I don't want to hang around a sister who isn't covered for no specific reason.
I don't know how you're going to talk about the things of God that way.
I know. I could trim her hair. She could trim mine. Maybe if one of us got sick, or sometimes elderly women get arthritis, they can't quite lift their arms up. You know, there's a few, some reason. But for the most part, you know, we don't really have any reasoning, and I'm not sure why we would look for one.
And again, this goes both ways. I'm out in the streets every day talking to men. They come up to me that claim to be Christians, and their heads are covered with hats. And I say to them, when we go over the gospel and go over other things, I say, should your head be covered while you're talking? This goes for men,
right.
too.
Oh,
men
does.
Have to carry themselves. That's why they shouldn't be wearing hats, because they forget to take them off, and now they're dishonoring God.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so I guess I'm just kind of skimming through here, and I don't really have any other major...
Did we talk about how a woman can talk with her husband about her hair, head uncovered, because her hair, her long hair is her covering? Have we discussed that one?
You know what? That one's best if we just go to the teaching.
Yep.
Because that
it's
goes her, into the...
It's her glory. It's for the angels. We have teachings on all this at the teaching
yes.
blog.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So if more questions come out of yep. this topic, which there probably will, then that will just give us more audios to go digging into.
Yeah.
Deeper. So this one right here is basically how a woman gets along in her home
right.
with her children or with other family or anybody else in
right.
the house, you know, the public, the private.
Yep.
And basically, you know, sisters, this is a matter of our heart and how we want to honor and glorify God. So when we get up, the whole picture is what it should be. The whole picture of a godly woman from head to toe.
Out of your bedroom, out of the bathroom.
Example. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I can just tell you, as a godly man, if we had children, I would require that I carry myself biblically at all times in front of the children. That's out of the bedroom, out of the bathroom. I'm dressed and ready. Sister Debbie, I would require, and I know she would want to do that, I would require my girls to be appropriate in front of their siblings. I would require my boys to be appropriate. And this sets order. It sets structure. It keeps God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
And if a person's house is in such disorder, they need to pray about that. And they need to get it in order so that all these things can be done to glorify God. And again, I'll say it, so that we can walk blameless.
Right. Amen. And
did we cover most of it, Sister Debbie?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, for what Christ did for us, this is like nothing. It's our reasonable service.
Saints,
you know?
I said it in my other teaching, we are purchased with a price. Quickly, in the Old Testament, it talked about when you had a slave and the slave was to be set free. And if the slave said, I want to stay with my master, and he chose
yeah.
to stay, they took a punch and punched a hole in his ear
yeah.
so that he was marked as that man's slave. What people did in the Old Testament to honor their slave, their masters, or honor God, they did heinous things that God called them to, terrible, hard things. I think covering our heads, uncovering our heads, wearing some clothing.
Piece of material.
I think we can do these things. People are in jail. People are tortured. People are being killed over their faith. Wow, I think it's shameful if we don't say, I can carry myself in public, I can carry myself in the home as an example, a tupos, I can carry myself everywhere. Yeah, in my home, in my bathroom, in my bedroom, that's my letdown place. Yes, running to the bathroom at night, I understand.
Yeah.
Helping a sick child here and there once in a while. What is appropriate, saints? That is to follow the ways of God and keep them and set the standard for these children.
Amen. Praise God. What an honor and glory that we have something so precious that is, there's so few saints out there, and we have this precious hope of eternal life. Let's not let a piece of material come in the way of this.
In my last teaching, I offered men, if a guy came home and followed you around in your house, what would he see? Would he see wife uncovered walking around? Would he see girls uncovered walking around? Would he see unbiblical dress? He'd say, wow, you on the street, you look really biblical, but at home, you really let your guard down. You'd stumble that man.
Right.
We don't want to stumble people. We don't want to stumble our children. We don't want to dishonor God.
Right. Amen. Praise
God. And this isn't legalism. This is what's appropriate, honoring, obeying God. Always fall on the side of God and holiness, not on the side of flesh, ease, and comfort.
Right. Amen.
That's all I got to say.
I think we covered a lot.
I hope that edifies all of you.
Yep. Amen. Praise God. Well, until
I like doing these with you back and forth.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah. Praise God.
We don't rehearse these, by the way.
No, we don't.
These are all one takes.
Yeah, right. We take.
You can tell.
We take a few notes and then we just kind of go and the Holy Spirit leads it. And,
amen.
And yeah. All right, sisters. Well, hopefully that helped all of you, and Lord willing, we'll be able to answer any more questions that come up.
Yep. We love you all in the Lord.
All right. Have a joyous evening.
May God be praised.